attended. He didn't yet join. He's joining now. Okay. It takes a few more seconds.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Mataji, I'm here on the call. Can you hear me?
Yes, Prabhuji. Yeah.
Dhanvat Pranam Mataji. Dhanvat Pranam to all the devotees on the call.
Welcoming all of you to the Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Radhika Vallabha Prabhuji. Prabhuji is going to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 1st chapter, 34 and 35 verses. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam, please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll hand out the call to Praveen Govind Prabhuji to give brief introduction of Radhika Vallabha Prabhu. Prabhuji, please take out the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Hare Krishna, all the devotees on the call. My Dhanvat Pranams. So a brief introduction to His Grace Radhika Vallabha Prabhu. So Prabhuji is a disciple of His Holiness Radhanatma Goswami Maharaj. He completed his B.Tech, M.Tech from IIT Mumbai in 2001. And then he worked in a IT company for 2 years. However, his heart got attracted to Krishna consciousness in the year 2003 and has been serving as a brahmachari in the Shishi Radha Gopinath Temple in Chowpatty, Mumbai. He has served in various departments at the temple, the DT department and the Sikh devotee care department. He has also served in the education department since 2013 and does youth preaching and congregation preaching as well. Prabhuji is a teacher of Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, and he has been teaching in Bhakti Vedanta Vidyapit in Wada, Mumbai. So Prabhuji, my humble pranams to you and all the devotees. Please take out the call from here. Hare Krishna.
Able to hear me, Prabhu?
No, Prabhu, it is very mild. The quality is a little bit slow.
Okay. If it is, I'll just start. If it is required, then I'll switch off the video because yesterday, although my connection is full actually, but yesterday also I encountered some problem, and then I switched off the video. Then I spoke, I used only audio.
Yeah, your voice is clear, but the volume is low.
Okay.
Yeah, can you bring that mic closer?
Mic closer?
Yeah, you can switch off the video, no problem.
I'll begin. In case if the audio is not very clear, if the voice is low, then you can just let me know. Then I'll switch off the video.
Yeah, Prabhu. So now it is better than before. Sorry. The voice is better than before.
Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritivanarottamadivim Sarasam Dojayam Nashtaprashvabhadre Nityam Bhatasevaya Bhagavati Rumashloke Bhaktir Bhavinashti.
Yeah, he got dropped off, Mataji.
నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ. I want to thank all the devotees in the Bhakti Sangha conference group for kindly allowing me to speak few words on Srimad Bhagavatam in the glorification of the Supreme Lord, for my own purification and also in the service of the devotees. So today we are actually reading from fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, fifth canto, chapter 1, the activities of Priyavrata Maharaj. We are going to discuss text number 34 and 35. I'll just read the verses. Text number 34. Duhitaram Chorja Vasvatim Namo Shanase Prayaccha Yasyam ఆసీద్ దేవయాని నామ కావ్యసుత. కింగ్ ప్రియవ్రత దెన్ గేవ్ హిస్ డాటర్ ఊర్జస్వతి ఇన్ మ్యారేజ్ టు శుక్రాచార్య హూ బిగాట్ ఇన్ హర్ ఎ డాటర్ నేమ్డ్ దేవయాని. టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 35. నైవం విద పురుషకార ఉరుక్రమస్య పుంసాం తదంగ్రిరజసా జితషద్గుణానాం చిత్రం విదూర విగత సకృతాదీత యన్నామదేయమదునా సజహాతి బందం. A devotee who has taken shelter from the lotus can transcend the influence of material whims, namely hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion, age and death, and he can conquer the mind and five senses. However, this is not very wonderful for a pure devotee of the Lord, because even a person beyond the jurisdiction of the four castes, in other words, an untouchable, is immediately relieved of bondage to material existence if he utters the holy name of the Lord even once. Purport. Shukadeva Goswami was speaking, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, we are not able to hear you, Prabhu.
Madhuri, I think Prabhuji's connection is lost.
Shukadeva Goswami was speaking to Maharaj Parikshit about the activities of King Priyavrata, and since the king might have had doubts about these wonderful uncommon activities, Shukadeva Goswami reassured him. My dear king, he said, don't be doubtful about the wonderful activities of Priyavrata. For a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything is possible because the Lord is also known as Urukrama. The Urukrama is a name for Lord Vamana Deva,
who performed the wonderful act of occupying the three worlds with three footsteps. Lord Vamanadeva requested three pieces of land from Maharaj Bali, and when Maharaj Bali agreed to grant them, the Lord immediately covered the entire world with the two footsteps, and for his third step, he placed his foot upon Bali Maharaj's head. Sri Jayadeva Goswami says, Chalayasi Vikramane Bali Madbhuta Vamana Padanaka Neera Janita Jana Pavana Keshava Drita Vamana Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare. All glories to Lord Keshava, who assumed the form of a dwarf, O Lord of the universe, who takes away everything inauspicious for the devotees. O wonderful Vamanade, you tricked the great demon Bali Maharaj by your steps. The water that touched the nails of your lotus feet, when you pierced through the coverings of the universe, purifies all living entities in the form of the river Ganges. Since the Supreme Lord is all-powerful, he can do things that seem wonderful for a common man. Similarly, a devotee who has taken shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord can also do wonderful things unimaginable to a common man by the grace of the dust of those lotus feet. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, therefore, teaches us to take shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. Ayinanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitam Maam Vishame Bhavam Budhav Kripaya Tava Pada Pankaja Sitaduli Sadrisham Vichintaya. O son of Nanda Maharaj, I am your eternal servant, yet somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms of your lotus feet. So Lord Chaitanya teaches us to come in touch with the dust of the Lord's lotus feet, for then there will undoubtedly be all success. Because of the material body, every living entity in material existence is always disturbed by the Shat Guna, six whips: hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion, invalidity, and death. Furthermore, another Shat Guna are the mind and five sense organs. Not to speak of a sanctified devotee, even a chandala, an outcast who is untouchable, is immediately freed from material bondage if he utters the holy name of the Lord even once. Sometimes caste brahmanas argue that unless one changes his body, he cannot be accepted as a brahmana, for since the present body is obtained as a result of past actions, one who has in the past acted as a brahmana takes birth in a brahmana family. Therefore, they contend without such a brahminical body, one cannot be accepted as a brahmana. Herein it is said, however, that even Vidura Vigata, a chandala, a fifth class untouchable, is freed if he utters the holy name even once. Being freed means that he immediately changes his body. Sanatana Goswami confirms this. Yata kanchanatam yati kamsyam rasa vidanataha tata diksha vidanena dvijatvam jayate nrina. When a person, even though a chandala, is initiated by a pure devotee into chanting the holy name of the Lord, his body changes as he follows the instructions of the spiritual master. Although one cannot see how his body has changed, we must accept on the grounds of the authoritative statements of the Shastras that he changes his body. This is to be understood without arguments. This verse clearly says, Sa jahati bandham, he gives up his material bondage. The body is a symbolic representation of material bondage according to one's karma. Although sometimes we cannot see the grass body changing, chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord immediately changes the subtle body. And because the subtle body changes, the living entity is immediately freed from material bondage. After all, changes of the grass body are conducted by the subtle body. After the destruction of the grass body, the subtle body takes the living entity from his present grass body to another. In the subtle body, the mind is predominant, and therefore if one's mind is always absorbed in remembering the activities of the lotus feet of the Lord, he is to be understood to have already changed his present body and become purified. Therefore, it is irrefutable that a chandala or any fallen or low-born person can become a brahmana simply by the method of bona fide initiation. Hare Krishna. So we are discussing from the activities of Priyavrata Maharaj. Sukadeva Goswami speaking this verse to remove the doubts of Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj has not asked a question, but Sukadeva Goswami could actually sense the doubt in the mind of Parikshit Maharaj, and in order to remove the doubt, he is speaking this particular verse. So just before this particular verse, Sukadeva Goswami narrated how Priyavrata Maharaj created another son. So Priyavrata Maharaj was once dissatisfied that the sun is present only for 12 hours. The people were getting sunlight only for, say, 12 hours of the daytime. So Priyavrata Maharaj, he thought that, oh, how wonderful it would be if they have sunlight for 24 hours. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing Sankirtan in the Shiva Sangan. And one day he said that, oh, we are performing Sankirtan whole day, but we are wasting the night time. Why not utilize the night time also for performing Sankirtan? Then they started Sankirtan in the night time. So similarly, Priyavrata Maharaj thought that if sunlight is available 24 hours, then it will be helpful to perform so many dharmic activities. So therefore, he wanted to create another sun. Recently, China, they created a second sun like using some nuclear reactor. But the cost of the sun was something like $22 billion. But Priyavrata Maharaj is such a person, he created another sun. In fact, Vishnu Chakuntipad says that Priyavrata Maharaj, he himself became the another sun. In one form, he was ruling the kingdom. In another form, he was going around the Jambudvipa. Just like Shaubari Muni expanded into 51 forms by his mystic power, Priyavrata Maharaj, by his mystic siddhis, he expanded into another form, and he went around the Sumeru Parvat 7 times. And through by that, he himself acted as the another sun, so that the citizens would get sunlight 24 hours. And the sun which Priyavrata Maharaj created, it gave warmth during winter, and it gave very cooling sensation during the summer. So that is the that was the power of Priyavrata Maharaj. So when Parikshit Maharaj heard this description, Parikshit Maharaj doubted, is it a real story? Is it some exaggerating? Is it some imaginary story? How can somebody create another sun? So Parikshit Maharaj had this doubt in his mind. In order to remove the doubt, Sukadeva Goswami spoke this verse. He said that a devotee who has taken shelter of the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord can transcend the influence of the 6 material whips, namely hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion, old age and death, and he can conquer the mind and 5 senses. However, this is not very wonderful for a pure devotee of the Lord, because even a person who is beyond the 4 varnas and the 4 ashramas, in other words, an untouchable, is immediately released of bondage to material existence if he utters the holy name of the Lord even once. So Sukadeva Goswami is speaking this verse that don't have doubts in the activities of Priyavrata. This actually happened because a devotee who has taken shelter of the dust of the lotus feet of Supreme Lord, by the mercy of the Lord, he can be empowered to perform superhuman activities. Just like the Lord Vamanadev, he came as a small dwarf brahmachari, but in 2 steps, he actually measured the entire 3 worlds. He covered the entire 3 worlds. That is why he's called as Urukrama, one who performed astonishing superhuman activities. So similarly, the devotee who has taken shelter of the dust of such a lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, he can also perform activities which are ordinary and which are ordinarily unimaginable for the common person. So here we see, like it is said that sun and moon are considered to be the two eyes of Krishna. In the Damodar Leela, when Mother Yashoda caught Krishna, Krishna started rubbing his eyes. Krishna, Mother Yashoda was holding the stick. Krishna started rubbing his eyes. Because Krishna was thinking that these two eyes of mine are the sun and moon. And they are the founders of my own two family lineages. Krishna appeared in the Soma Vamsha. Ram appeared in the Surya Vamsha. So Krishna thought, but their reputation, that means the sun and moon, the two eyes represent sun and moon. Krishna is thinking, however, their reputation is now tarnished because of my crying. And the kajal is spreading everywhere around them. So how can I tolerate seeing the reputation being tarnished like this? So thinking in this way, Krishna started rubbing his eyes using his hands in order to protect the reputation of sun and moon. In the pastime of Krishna killing Putana, when Putana arrived, it is described that when Putana entered the inner chambers of Nandamara's house, Krishna closed his eyes. So why did he close his eyes? It is said that a living entity goes via the path of sun and moon to higher planets. One is the Chandra Marga or the Surya Marga. By these two paths, a living entity goes to the higher planets. It is described in the 8th chapter of the Gita. So, the sun and moon, that means the two eyes of Krishna, they thought, oh, Krishna is supremely independent. He can give any destination to this particular demoness. He can give a higher destination to this demon as Putana. But we will not allow her to go by our paths to the higher planets. So thinking like that, the sun and moon closed their doors. So that is why the Acharya say that Krishna closed his eyes. So here we see that sun and moon are the two eyes of Krishna. And Krishna wanted to protect the reputation of the sun and moon. Therefore, Krishna was rubbing his eyes. But in this particular pastime of Priyavrata Maharaja, Krishna empowered his devotee Priyavrata to create another son. And Priyavrata Maharaja created another son. That means he himself became another son. Not to compete with the existing son, but out of compassion towards the living entities, in order to benefit the living entities, he himself became another son, not to compete with the son. Because sometimes one may perform an act of compassion, but not in the mood of compassion, but in order to compete with another person. Vishwamitra showed compassion to Trishanku, but what was the underlying mood? In order to compete with Vasishtha. So such a mood, showing compassion in the mood of competition, that is in Rajoguna. Or that is in Tamoguna. Abhisandaya yohimsam dambam matsaryam evava sambrambi binnadrik bhavam mai kuryatsa tamasa. Kapila Dev says that an angry person who is devoid of compassion, who worships me with intentions of violence, pride and hatred, is tamasic in his bhakti. He says that a person who is performing tamasic bhakti, he may perform bhakti in the mood of competition, or in the mood of wanting to give trouble to others. So, but Priyavrata created another son, not in the mood of competition, but wanting to show compassion to the living entities. So, but the same Priyavrata Maharaj, we will see I think little few verses later in this chapter, when Shukadev Goswami described the renunciation of Priyavrata Maharaj, Priyavrata Maharaj, at the last part of his life, he even criticized himself that how condemned I have become because of my sense gratification. So Priyavrata Maharaj felt that whatever superhuman activities I performed, so they are all simply some activities on a material platform. So Priyavrata Maharaj condemned his own so-called achievements of creating another son. So Prabhupada writes in their purport, so how condemned is the advancement of material knowledge can be understood from the behavior of Priyavrata Maharaj. Of course, this will be discussed later, but why I am like taking that verse also here is that because Priyavrata Maharaj, by creating another son, he gave material vision to the citizens who were present when he was ruling the kingdom. At the same time, Priyavrata Maharaj, by his realization, by his mood of renunciation, in which he condemned all his material advancements. So through those realizations, Priyavrata Maharaj is giving spiritual vision for all people of all future times. By condemning his own superhuman activities of creating another son. And he gave material vision by creating another son for the citizens who were present when he was ruling the kingdom. So in that way, Priyavrata Maharaj gave material vision and also spiritual vision for all people of all time to come. So that is why Krishna says in the Uddhava Gita, Santo Dishanti Chakshumsi Bahirarka Samuttitaha Devata Bandava Santa Santa Atmaham Evacha. My devotees bestow eyes to others so that they can see me and they also give illumination to the eye like the sun when it has risen in the sky. So my devotees are the deities, the real friends and the object of love, and they are non-different from me. So the difference between a devotee and the sun is that sun gives only external sight, but a devotee gives internal eyesight. A devotee gives divine eyes to see things in the proper perspective. So Helen Keller, once she was asked, what is worse than being blind? She said, what is worse than being blind is having the ability to see but not having a vision. So somebody has the ability to see with one's eyes, but if somebody does not have the vision to see the things in the proper perspective, so that is worse than being blind. So Priyavrata Maharaj not only gave the ability to see the things of this world by creating another sun for 24 hours, that means like for the rest of the 12 hours in the daytime, 12 hours of the day, but Priyavrata Maharaj also gave spiritual vision through his realization through the words he spoke in the mood of renunciation. So in that way we find how Priyavrata Maharaj's glory is being spoken in this particular chapter. And also we see here that how the Lord empowers his devotees to perform such a superhuman activities. The Lord empowered Priyavrata to create the second son or to become the another son. So similarly, the Lord also empowered Dhruva Maharaj by making him as the most important individual in the entire universe. Because all the planets are actually, they are revolving around the Dhruva Loka. And the Lord actually gave the position of ruler of that particular planet to Dhruva Maharaj. So Prabhupada says that Maharaj, that The Supreme Lord is so kind and loves his devotee Maharaj Dhruva so much so that he placed all the luminaries under the control of the Dhruva's planet. So it is said that all the planets are the time factor, but the Lord placed time under the control of Maharaj. The arrangement factor cooperate. So this shows the Lord made Dhruva Maharaj as the most important individual within the universe, and the Lord placed the activities of the time factor under the control of Dhruva. And here the Lord empowered Priyavrata to create another son, to become another son. That means, like, the Lord gave the position of Priyavrata his own eye. Well, Priyavrata became the eye of the Lord. Because the son is one of the eye of the Lord, Priyavrata himself became another son. So by becoming the eye of the Lord, gave not only the material vision at that time. Voice is breaking.
Yeah, intermittently it is getting a lot of static, Prabhu. But most of the time it is okay. Achha. But intermittently we hear a lot of static and your voice is breaking.
Oh. Okay.
So Priyavrata, in this way, he not only gave material vision, but he is giving spiritual vision. So there's a prayer of Prachetas. Prachetas are saying that Namo Vishuddha Sattvaya Haraye Harimedase Vasudevaya Krishnaya Prabhave Sarvasatvatam. So Prabhave Sarvasatvatam means the Lord always increases the influence of his devotees. So here the Lord is increasing the influence of Priyavrata Maharaj by empowering him to create another son. And the next point I wanted to discuss is that, so here when Parikshit Maharaj heard this activities of Priyavrata, he got a doubt. Maybe these activities are, they cannot be true. They are actually exaggeration. So he got a doubt like that. So, and therefore Shukadeva Goswami spoke this verse. So we find that generally, like scriptures talk about the glories of the Supreme Lord, the glories of the holy names, and glories of the devotees of the Lord. And many times when you hear those statements, one may think that these are exaggerated statements. So Shukadeva Goswami says that don't take the statements as an exaggeration. One was actually taken shelter of the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord can easily transcend the six whips, can easily overcome the control the six, the five mind and the five senses and the mind. He can perform superhuman activities. In fact, a person who is an outcast, vidura vigata, who is an untouchable, by simply chanting the holy name even once, such a person can become completely purified. He becomes immediately freed from all bondage. His body becomes spiritualized. In that way, Shukadeva Goswami is speaking about the glories of the holy name also. So I will briefly speak about this particular aspect of considering the glories of the holy name or the devotee to be an exaggeration. So one of the offense to the holy name, just one second. One of the offense to the holy name is actually considering the glories of the holy name to be an exaggeration. So, like in this particular, when we see something is very powerful, generally two thoughts can come into our mind. One thought is that this is something exaggeration, and another thought is that we may believe in that power of the holy name, but
we may use the power of the holy name for something ordinary or for wrong purpose. So therefore, we find there are two. One offense is considering the holy name to be an exaggeration. Another, that sin on the strength. Another may actually power of the holy name, but accepting the power of the use the holy name, use the strength, and as we commit sins. So therefore, we described the Shastra. For example, the glory to the holy name, exaggeration. So one of the examples of the person who this offense is Durga. So it is that Jiva Goswami says in the king.
So King Durga tells Lord Krishna, Brahmyasya Vanyasya Asya Keva. Not at all audible, actually. Connection is full, actually. Is it audible now? Hare Krishna. Am I audible?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. So King Nriga told that because I was devoted to the Brahmanas and munificent in offering charity and devoted to you and anxious to obtain a direct vision of you, the memory of my past life has not been lost right up to the present. So King Nriga is mentioning this particular verse because I was devoted to you. You know the story of King Nriga. King Nriga became a lizard, and then Lord Krishna, when he actually came and when his lotus feet touched that lizard, and that lizard assumed that form of a King Nriga. And then King Nriga, then Lord Krishna asked King Nriga to actually speak about the story. And then King Nriga spoke about the story to the Yadukumaras. And then King Nriga was offering prayers to Krishna. In that prayer, King Nriga is saying that because I was devoted to you, the memory of my past life has not been lost right up to the present. So here Jiva Goswami raises a question. If King Nriga was devoted to Krishna, that means he was a devotee of Krishna in the past, how is it that he had to go to Yamaloka? Because King Nriga, at the end of his life, he was taken to Yamaloka, and then there Yamaraj asked him a question. Do you want to first enjoy your the pious activities, or do you want to suffer for your sins? And then the story proceeds. But the point is that if King Nriga was devoted to Krishna, how is it that he had to see Yamaraj? Because Yamaraj had given a very clear question to the Yadus. Yamaraj told that Vishwana Nakti Bhagavad Gunamadeyam Chetaschana Smarat Charanaravindam. That, my dear servants, please bring me only those in person who do use the holy name, who have not remembered the lotus, whose heads are not even bowed to the lotus feet of Krishna. But in the case of Nriga, he was devoted to Krishna. Then how is it that
voice is breaking, Prabhu. Now it's gone. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, are you there? Can we connect him with phone? Because Litangi Mataji used to do that. I don't know.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Mataji. Can you send me his number? I'll try.
Okay. We cannot hear anything.
Actually, the connection is showing full connection, but I think suddenly there is some network issue or something.
Yeah,
Babuji. Are you able to hear now?
Mataji is asking that if she can call you with phone, that would be nice.
Okay.
Direct phone. Yeah.
That's also fine.
No problem. She's trying. Yeah. But now we can hear you actually.
Okay. I'll just quickly complete maybe in 15 minutes I'll complete.
So, yes, Prabhuji, you can talk now. In case it gets disturbed again, I will try to call you.
Okay. So I was telling the story of King Driga. King Driga was a devotee of the Lord, but still he had to see Yamaraj. Therefore, how is it that, but Yamaraj had given clear instructions to the Yamadutas, only bring those people who have not performed devotional service even once. So, but still, how is it that King Driga had to see Yamaraj? The reason is that because King Driga performed the offense of considering the glories of bhakti to be an exaggeration. So King Driga heard about the glories of devotional service, but he considered the glories of bhakti to be an exaggeration. So that is why he put his full effort to perform fruitive activities of just giving charity. Although he heard the glories of bhakti, he didn't perform the activities of bhakti with the full heart. But rather, he considered that to be an exaggeration, but he considered the glories of karmakanda activities to be true. So therefore, he put his effort to perform the karmakanda sacrifices and charity, etc. On the other hand, devotees like Ambarish Maharaj put his full effort to perform the devotional service activities, and in order to perform the different karmakanda sacrifices, through a representative, he performed them. So King Driga is an example, one who considered the glories of bhakti to be an exaggeration. So there is a verse spoken by Kuresh, Kura Talwan in the Sri Sampradaya. He says that sometimes, like we find in the Shastra, that there are different verses which talk about the glories of the Supreme Lord or the glories of bhakti. But in these statements about the devotion, sometimes one may think that, oh, these statements are exaggeration. But he says that whenever there is a statement which talks about the glories of bhakti or the Supreme Lord, those statements are always an understatement, because you can never enough glorify the Supreme Lord. On the other hand, whenever you find glorification of a devata or a process other than bhakti, so those statements are actually exaggeration, because all the devatas, they are amshas of the Supreme Lord and they are empowered by the Lord to actually give benedictions to their followers. And the processes other than bhakti, only when they are combined with the process of bhakti, then only they can give results to the people who follow those paths. So therefore,
that therefore we should know that the glories of bhakti or the holy name or the supreme lord, they are never an exaggeration, but they are always an understatement. And Prabhupada says in Nectar of Devotion that sometimes the statements about the path of bhakti may appear to be overestimated, but actually there is no overestimation. That some devotees in the Shastra, they have got immediate results. And some devotees, they may not have got immediate results. For example, the Kumaras, they became devotees simply by smelling the incense offered to the Supreme Lord. Bilwamangal Thakur simply heard about Krishna and immediately gave up his attachment to that prostitute. So these statements are not overestimations, nor are they stories, but they are actual facts, but they are true for some devotees, but they do not necessarily apply to all. But even if you consider them as overestimations, these statements should be taken as they are in order to divert our attention from the fleeting material beauty to the eternal beauty of Krishna consciousness. So Vishnu Chakotipad says that the glories of the holy name found in the words of the Shastra are spoken by great devotees are insignificant, like a tiny firefly before the sun. So why is it that, what is the cause of committing this offense? What is the reason that a person considers the glories of the holy name or the activities of the devotees to be an exaggeration? The reason is that it is because a person lacks the association of an exalted personality who properly understands the glories of the holy name, that a person commits this particular offense. And what is the solution? How to rectify this offense? So the offender, if the offender gets the association of a saintly person who is devoted to chanting the holy name, and if he hears the glories of the holy name or the glories of the devotees from that devotee's mouth, then that contaminated mind will be purified. Just like here, Parishit Maharaj also got a doubt. Oh, these activities of Priyavrata are exaggeration. But Shukadev Goswami, because he had the association of a great devotee like Shukadev Goswami, Shukadev Goswami is immediately removing that doubt. So in the story of Ajamil, if you see that Ajamil, he did not commit the offense of committing sin on the strength of the holy name, because he did not know the glories of the holy name. Although he committed sin, but he did not commit the offense of committing sin on the strength of the holy name. And then when he heard the glories of the holy name from the Vishnu Dutas, he actually accepted them as true. On the other hand, the Yamadutas also heard the glories of the holy name from the Vishnu Dutas, but the Yamadutas considered the glories of the holy name to be an exaggeration. That is why the Yamadutas, they went to Yamaraj in an angry mood. They did not believe in the words of the Vishnu Dutas. They went to Yamaraj in an angry mood and they asked Yamaraj that is there somebody above than you? Today we have been stopped by some people when we are trying to bring some sinful person to Yamaloka. So therefore, this particular offense of considering the glories of the holy name to be an exaggeration, this should be avoided by taking the association of an advanced devotee. And like another place, actually, like Jiva Goswami says that, like, why is it that, like, what is the logic behind the thought process that the glories of the holy name is an exaggeration? So Jiva Goswami says that generally we find in the many statements in the Shastra, both in the Shruti as well as in the Smriti, they talk about various types of sacrifices, austerities, charities, chanting of the mantras in order to attain different objects, either in this life or after death. And there are detailed descriptions of the atonements for getting rid of one's sins. And usually those atonements are very difficult to perform. For example, Manusmriti says that if a twice born person drinks wine unknowingly, then he should drink hot cow's urine until death. generally it's a very difficult atonement, and it is a very common, it's also a common experience that to achieve anything in this world, one has to work very hard. So generally Shastras also talk about performing various hard work, various hard work in the form of austerities, charities, etc. to achieve something. And they also talk about very hard, very difficult atonements to get rid of certain sin. And in our common sense experience also, we find that to achieve anything in this world, one has to do a lot of hard work. Like there are various, like for example, Markandeya Puran says that if an ant were to continue proceeding on, it would cover thousands of yojanas. But if it were not to move, even Garuda would not put a step forward. That means, like, to achieve anything, if you do even small efforts regularly, you can achieve even great, you can perform even great activities. But even if a great person does not put even little effort, then one cannot achieve anything. Now it is said that Udyogena vina naiva karyam kimapi siddhyati nahi suptasya simhasya pravishanti muke mruga. Nothing gets accomplished without effort. Even a deer does not enter into the mouth of a sleeping lion. So even a lion also has to work hard. So therefore, a person may think that when a person hears the glories of the holy name, one holy name can actually destroy more sins than a person can commit. So then one may think that just by one chanting of the holy name, one can destroy so many sins. Then one may think that these statements are exaggeration. So therefore, Jiva Goswami warns against such mentality. He says that generally in the Vedic scriptures, there are five kinds of statements. Vidhi Vakya, something to be done. Nisheda, which is to be avoided. And then Na Mantra, certain mantras to be chanted while performing certain ritual. And then Namadeya talks about names of the different yajnas. And then there is Arthavada. Arthavada means those statements which are either eulogistic or critical in nature. So the purpose of Arthavada is to encourage persons to perform certain religious activities and also to discourage the irreligious activities. Like for example, there is a Vidhi Vakya. The person who is desirous of wealth should perform a horse sacrifice to wind god. And then in another part, this is an example of a Vidhi Vakya. And then there is an example of a Arthavada. Arthavada Vakya says that Vayu is indeed a swift god. That means the Vayu god, the Vayu Dev is glorified. So this statement implies that the Vayu Dev will quickly reward the worshippers. So this kind of Arthavada, in which the particular praise, particular say sacrifice is praised or particular Devata is praised, this will encourage the people to perform the Ashwamedha Yaga to the wind god. So these statements come under the category of Arthavada. So somebody may think that the glories of the holy name are also Arthavada. But actually the glories of the holy name, they are not Arthavada. That Arthavada statements are basically statements which encourage a person in order to do something else. That is what Arthavada. But to consider glory to the holy name to be an Arthavada is an. Suppose if the statements you chanting are considered, then naturally the question will ask, generally any Arthavada statement is subordinate to a Vidhi Vakya. A Vidhi Vakya means something to be done, perform the sacrifice to the wind god. And then there is another statement which glorifies the wind god as a very swift god. That means you will quit. So generally, Arthavada is subordinate to the Vidhi Vakya. If the glories of the holy name, the statements glorifying the holy name, if they are Arthavada, that means they should be subordinate to a Vidhi Vakya. But then, In the case of the whole, when you consider the glories of the holy name, statements glorifying the holy names, if those words are Arthavada, then they should be subordinate to the Vidivakya, but we don't find a Vidivakya. We don't find a Vidivakya to whom the the glories of the holy name is subordinate. So that means the statements which glorify the holy name, they themselves are the Vidivakya as well as the Arthavada. In other words, so the statements which talk about the glories of the holy name, they are not exaggerated statement. Rather, they should be taken as they are. They should be taken as it is, with not considering them to be an eulogy or not considering them to be an exaggeration. So in this way, Jiva Goswami is trying to give explanation. And then another point that so somebody may accept, okay, the glories of the holy name as it is, but then after understanding the power of the holy name, one may commit sin on the strength of the power of the holy name. This is another offense. One may use the holy name for one's own material purpose, like committing sin on the strength of the holy name. And the example for this from the Bhagavatam is Indra. So Indra in the 6th canto, I think the 13th chapter, this description comes where when Vritrasur was actually tormenting, that time Indra did not want to kill Vritrasur because Indra felt that already I killed Vishwarup and then I got contaminated with the sin. And if I kill Vritrasur, again I will get contaminated with the sin of killing a Brahmana. But then other sages told Indra, no, don't worry about that. That you just kill Vritrasur and then later we will perform the Ashwamedha Yajna and then we will chant the holy names of the Lord. And by chanting the holy names of the Lord, you will be relieved of this particular sin. So don't worry about that. You go ahead and kill Vritrasur, although he is son of Brahmana, the Tvashta. Because later we will perform the Ashwamedha Yajna, we will chant the holy names of the Lord, you will get rid of the sin. So here the sages advised Indra to commit the offense of committing sin on the strength of the holy name. So therefore, Indra committed that offense. Therefore, he had to suffer a lot. And even the Brahmanas who gave that advice to Indra, they also got contaminated with that offense of giving that wrong advice. So that is why those Brahmanas were later tormented by King Nagusha, who occupied the post of Indra. So in this way, we find that these two offenses are mentioned in the Shastra. And then a few more points I'll describe about King Priyavrata. Like about King Priyavrata, we see in the Priyavrata story that that on one side, Narada Muni was inspiring Priyavrata to continue in the renounced order. On another side, Swayambhu Manu was asking Priyavrata to become the king. So many times, sometimes in our life, there are conflicting instructions come. Sometimes, in the initial time, there may be a conflict between Dharma and Adharma, right and wrong. But when a person starts practicing devotional service, starts following the path of Dharma, at a particular point, there will be a conflict between two Dharmas or two instructions coming from two different authorities. So Priyavrata also faced such conflict. So at that time, Brahma told Priyavrata, use your intelligence to follow both their instructions. Both the instructions of Narada as well as Swayambhuva Manu. So Narada's instructions are in the path of renunciation. Swayambhuva Manu's instruction is to become the king. You follow both his instruction by internally adopting the mood of renunciation, but at the same time externally performing the duties of a king. So in that way, Brahma actually acted as a mediator in this particular pastime. So in this particular pastime, we see the renunciation, the mood of renunciation of three personalities. So Priyavrata's renunciation was that Priyavrata renounced the renunciation, renounced renounce the Brahmacharya ashrama, renounce the renunciation in order to serve Krishna. Narada Muni, he exhibited his renunciation by not becoming angry that Swayambhu Manu is taking a person from my ashram. When Narada Muni understood that, oh, this is the desire of the Lord that Priyavrata should become the king. So Narada Muni did not become angry. Narada Muni accepted that. So Narada Muni did not hold any grudge towards Brahma or Swayambhu Manu. And Swayambhu Manu exhibited his renunciation by wanting to retire from his kingly responsibilities and taking to complete devotional service. In this way, all three personalities demonstrated three types of renunciation. And then we see another lesson in this particular pastime is that the essential principle of anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam, that whatever is favorable for pleasing Krishna, one should accept. Whatever is unfavorable, one should reject. So Priyavrata, he renounced renunciation when he understood that this will be favorable for serving Krishna. So a man becomes powerful by brahmacharya and a woman becomes powerful by chastity. And we find in the Bhagavatam, Priyavrata renounced his brahmacharya in order to serve Krishna. And gopis renounce their chastity for the sake of surrendering to Krishna. But the underlying principle is that anukulyasya sankalpa, whatever is favorable, you accept. Whatever is unfavorable, you reject for the sake of serving Krishna. And Bali Maharaj renounced even the principle of following the Guru's order for the sake of surrendering to the Lord. So all these principles are very high principles, that obeying the Guru's order or following the principles of, say, brahmacharya, renunciation, or following the principles of chastity. They are all very high principles, very high dharmic principles. But the Bhagavatam demonstrates that in order to highlight the principle of surrendering to the Lord, Bhagavatam gives so many examples examples of the personalities who renounce even these principles for the sake of surrendering to the Lord. Just like sometimes when there is an advertisement for a particular car or a motorbike, so they show an advertisement that how the motorbike goes on a very rough terrain, like a mountain. And that even in the rough terrain, this motorbike goes so smoothly. So therefore, the motorbike will run very nicely in your normal roads. So by highlighting how the motorbike goes nicely in the rough terrain, the glory of the motorbike is actually highlighted. So similarly, that Bhagavatam highlights that these personalities, they gave up such high dharmic principles, obeying the Guru, following the principles of brahmacharya or chastity, they rejected even them for the sake of actually surrendering to the Lord. Or the example of Yashoda, like normally self-realization helps us to come close to Krishna. Self-realization means understanding Krishna's greatness and how we are insignificant. So this will help us come close to Krishna. But for Mother Yashoda, self-realization was an obstacle to serve Krishna. When Mother Yashoda saw the entire universe within the belly of Krishna, for a moment, Mother Yashoda was thinking that, oh, Krishna is so great, the entire universe is within the belly of Krishna. And then Mother Yashoda, she came into the mood of awe and reverence. But within next second, Mother Yashoda gave up that conception. Oh, Krishna is just my child. He cries when he is hungry. So Mother Yashoda gave up self-realization when she understood that it is actually unfavorable for her service to Krishna. So therefore, all these examples, whether it is Bali Maharaj or Yashoda or the gopis or Priyavrata, the underlying principle is that anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. And we have to apply this principle in our life according to our situation. So, and lastly, the point is that Priyavrata is an example of a person who came down from the platform of Uttamadhikari to the Madhyamadhikari platform for the sake of serving Krishna. So generally in this world, in this world, we want to advance to higher platform. Whether in a material world, people want to say progress through the corporate ladder. One wants to advance to a higher and higher position. And we also want to advance to higher platforms. Shraddha, Sadhu, Sangha, Bhajana, Kriya, and we want to advance to higher platform. But Priyavrata came down from a Uttamadhikari platform to Madhyamadhikari platform for the sake of serving Krishna. Daruka was in the platform of ecstasy when he was fanning Krishna. But he cursed that ecstatic symptoms because it was coming as an obstacle for serving Krishna. Bharat Maharaj, when he was worshipping the deities, he was exhibiting ecstatic symptoms. But Bharat Maharaj felt that, oh, these ecstatic symptoms are covering my intelligence to follow the proper rules in worshipping the deities. So he started praying to Sun God, please do not cover my intelligence so that I can properly worship the Supreme Lord in his deity form. And Sukadeva Goswami, he did not want to utter the holy name of Srimati Radharani because he felt that if he uttered the holy name of the Radharani's name, that he would go into ecstasy and his service to Parikshit Maharaj would stop. So here, these examples, whether it's Priyavrata or Daruka or Bharat Maharaj or Sukadeva Goswami, these examples highlight that how for the sake of serving the Lord, a person comes down from a higher platform to the lower platform because for them, the service is considered to be the highest principle. In this way, we can learn many things from Priyavrata Maharaj's example. To summarize what we discussed today, we discussed that how Priyavrata Maharaj gave external vision for the citizens of his kingdom by becoming another son, and Priyavrata Maharaj gave internal spiritual vision for people of all time in the future, for the rest of eternity, through his deep words of renunciation, through his deep realizations in the form of the words of renunciation. And we discussed that how a son gives external vision, but a devotee gives internal vision. And then we discussed how Priyavrata Maharaj, this principle of actually how Parikshit Maharaj considered the activities of Priyavrata Maharaj to be an exaggeration. So in this regard, we discussed that the two offenses, that considering the glories of the holy name to be an exaggeration through the example of Nriga Maharaj, because he considered the glories of the holy name to be an exaggeration, although he was a devotee, he had to go to Yamaloka and he had to become a lizard. And another offense is that accepting the glories of bhakti, but then committing sin on the strength of the glories of bhakti, glories of the holy name. And the example is King Indra, who committed the act of killing Vritrasur on the strength of the chanting of the holy name. Because of that, Indra had to suffer the sinful reaction, and those who gave that advice to Indra, they also had to suffer reaction for that. And then we discussed some points from Priyavrata Maharaj's example, that how when there is a conflict between two instructions, how Priyavrata Maharaj, actually Brahma told Priyavrata to use the intelligence to follow both the instructions. And we discussed the principle of Anukulyasya Sankalpa Pratikulyasya Varjanam through the examples of Priyavrata, Gopis, Yashoda. And then we discussed the renunciation exhibited by three personalities, Priyavrata Maharaj, Narada Muni and Swayambhu Manu in this particular episode. And lastly, I discussed that how Priyavrata came down from the platform of Uttamadhikari to Madhyamadhikari in order to serve Krishna. And similarly, Daruka, Bharat Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami, how they also demonstrated for the sake of serving the Supreme Lord and the devotees, how they suppressed their own ecstasy, how they were, instead of going to the higher platform, for the sake of service, they actually remained in a platform which will be conducive for the service. Like that. These are some points which I try to share. If anybody has any thoughts or any questions, they can ask.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for a wonderful class, Prabhu. If anybody have any questions or realizations, please go ahead.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu, for a very nice, valuable class. And your lectures always at Bhaktivedanta Vidyapeeth also are very transcendental and very helpful for us to understand Srimad Bhagavatam in detail. Prabhu, I have a few questions, Prabhu, in today what you were trying to explain. Prabhuji, one question, first thing is this Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva planet. So after Dhruva Maharaj was assigned, then it became that which was controlling the time itself, or it was there before and then Dhruva Maharaj was given that planet, Prabhu. Hare Krishna Prabhu, I think we can't hear you.
That made us.
No, Prabhu, can't hear you.
My voice is breaking.
Yeah, Prabhu is not there now in the call. I cannot say.
Wait for a few minutes, yeah.
I lost the connection, Mataji.
Really sorry, actually. Technology is really. My that plan was there, and Dhruva Maharaj was made as the king of the particular planet at a particular point. So that became Dhruva Loka, it looks like that.
Okay, so it was already there, then Dhruva Maharaj was assigned. Okay. Okay. Okay, thank you. Prabhuji, one more thing. This Priyavrata Maharaj creating the second son. We understand that he went around that Jambudvipa planet, Jambudvipa mountain, and he created those seven islands and seven oceans, right, Prabhu? As part of how this second son or another son from a large, what does it mean, Prabhu? I'm unable to understand. Like. After he created, was it there for eternal, or it just a logical aspect that was created? What is that, Prabhuji?
No, he, like, what actually happened was that the second son was Priyavrata himself. Priyavrata was circling around the Sumeru mountain. So when he would be circling around the Sumeru mountain, that on one side, say for 12 hours of daytime, the actual sun is present. Sun is present on the other side of the Sumeru mountain.
Karnayo. Sina Karnayo.
Hare Krishna. Somebody got unmuted. So on one side of the Sumeru mountain, that people were getting 12 hours of daytime. On the other side of the Sumeru mountain, Priyavrata Maharaj would be circling, and then because Priyavrata himself became so effulgent by his mystic power, he expanded into another form and he was circling around the other side of the Sumeru mountain, and by that effulgence emanating from his body, he gave light to the other portion of the other side of the Sumeru mountain, in which the sunlight was not, people were not getting the sunlight from the original sun. And then when Priyavrata Maharaj would come to this side of the mountain, so the other side of the Sumeru mountain getting the sunlight from the sun, and this side of the Sumeru mountain they were getting the sunlight from the body of the Priyavrata. So
circling around the Sumeru mountain 7 times, and by circling around the Sumeru mountain 7 times, that he himself acted as the Anantara. Of course, that sun, the second sun created by Priyavrat Maharaj, is not present for the rest of eternity. It was present only Priyavrat's when he was only during Priyavrat reign during his kingdom. Actually.
Okay. But later on, again, it went back to the old.
Later on, there's only one sun was present. So only Priyavrat was ruling the kingdom for some time. He was dissatisfied that, okay, people were having only 12 hours of sunlight. So therefore, he himself expanded into another form. And that form so effulgent, he was circling up the Sumeru mountain. By that, he himself acted as the sun. So that sun was present only during his reign. And then when he also renounced from his kingdom and he retired, so that sun was no longer present.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. Prabhuji, one more question on the same line. Maharaj divided the island, right? Prabhu Jambudvipa into seven islands, right? And one of them called Bharata Varsha, right, Prabhu? One of them. And then again, it was divided into nine. One of them is called Bharata Khanda. Right, Prabhu? So that Bharata Khanda is called the earth.
Bharata Khanda is the earth.
Oh, that's what when we see the solar system or whatever the picture we see, that is
Bharata Khanda is the earth. Yes.
Earth planet. Okay.
Thank you. There is one question, Praveen Govind Prabhu, that how did Priyavrata Maharaj give spiritual vision? He was going around the Sumeru mountain giving light. This is external activity. How is spiritual vision being communicated to the ordinary people? So he gave spiritual vision by the words he spoke, like at the end of the chapter, few verses later in this chapter, when Priyavrata Maharaj's renunciation is described by Sukadeva Goswami. If we read those particular words, Priyavrata Maharaj, he actually considered those achievements of creating another sun to be insignificant, or he condemned those activities to be activities in sense gratification. So what he emphasized is that the highest advancement is that not creating another sun or making some technological advancement, etc. The highest advancement is developing love for Krishna. So by those words of renunciation, he gave spiritual vision for people of all time. So that was the point. If you read that purport, Prabhupada says that normally modern scientists are very proud of their advancement. But Priyavrata Maharaj was so advanced, he created another sun. But still, he did not consider them wonderful. He conductivities creating another sun. So by that, what is really valuable, or what is the highest achievement in life, is to come close to Krishna, to develop love for Krishna. So by those words, Priyavrata Maharaj is giving the spiritual vision. That was the point.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Dhanwat Pranam, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanwat Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Mata.
Prabhuji, these are some of the sentences that you spoke. A man becomes powerful by brahmachari, and a woman becomes powerful for her keeping her character chastity. And then the other thing you said, accept anything favorable to Krishna and Krishna's service, reject anything unfavorable to Krishna and Krishna's service. And then Prabhupada says, in the material world, you're always contaminating and associating yourself with the three gunas. So to become Mukta Jeev, we have to become the servant of the servant of the servant of the Krishna's Bhakta. So these couple of points made was very nice to hear. Because we know all of this, but we forget, because we come under the Maya influence, and then we forget everything then, and you revised it in this class today. So I thank you for that. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Mata. Thank you, Mata. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
So I will just share the notes, whatever I prepared for the class, because in case in between there were many disturbances, it got disconnected. If somebody wants to, somebody missed some point or not able to not understand properly, maybe they can just go through the notes. So I will send the notes to, I think,
post the notes. I'm going to.
And then.
You.
Yeah. Yes, Prabhuji, I will share in the group.
Okay.
Anybody else has any questions?
Can I ask one more question, Prabhu?
Yeah.
Prabhuji, the Sumeru Mountain is tall.
Uh-huh.
Yojana's tall.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Huh.
It goes beneath the Bhumandala surface also.
Huh.
But when we say a mountain when it is above the surface, but we don't say call it a mountain, or we don't measure when it goes below the earth surface, right, Prabhu? So that was
the more technical this one, but Sumeru Mountain, it has a certain height above the Bhumandala and it has a certain height below the Bhumandala.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a very peculiar mountain. In fact, the Sumeru Mountain, the way it goes above the Bhumandala is that the diameter on the top of the mountain is higher than the diameter at the bottom of the mountain. It is going from smaller diameter to higher diameter. So, yeah, that is the sense. Maybe the wonderful nature of the Lord's creation, but it is a little inconceivable according to our normal conception, but that's how the description is coming. As Prabhupada says in one purport in fifth canto, these descriptions which are given in the Bhagavatam, you can neither prove it nor you can disprove it. You cannot disprove that these statements are wrong, and nor can you prove it with our instruments or telescope or something. So,
Prabhu, one more thing is our scientific understanding is the sun is stationary, right, Prabhu? The scientific understanding is stationary. But here we see the sun moves around the pole star, right, Prabhu? The Dhruva planet. Is that
right? Correct.
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
Sun is actually moving. A chapter called Movement.
Later it comes, right, Prabhu? The movements of the sun.
The moves above the mountain. The sun is also. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Prabhu, for your very, very nice class. Thank you, Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. There is one more question in the chat, Prabhu. I think it's from Akshita Mataji. The question is, when King Priyavrata created another sun, and if there was no darkness on earth that time, does it mean there was no moon also? Because moon is the cause of creating juices and vegetables. So if there was no moon, then what happened to that process that time?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. I think we lost Prabhuji.
Yeah, Mataji, again Prabhupada.
Yeah, we don't see Prabhuji. But very, very nectarian class. So,
yes, Mataji, if there was no disturbance, it would have been even more nice. There was so many nice points to this.
I'm again, the connection is getting disturbed. No, no. Can we? Because again, it got disturbed. I'm not able to. If it goes again, it will be. So, Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I thank everyone for your kind participation. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for your enlightening class today, Prabhu. We are very grateful to you and we look forward for your association again in the future, Prabhu. Let us pay obeisances to Prabhuji and all the devotees. Vancha kalpada rudyasya kupasindhya
kripa
srimad bhagavatam radhika vallabha prabhu ji ki jai. All glories to all devotees. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for this.
Thank you, Prabhu.